May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 300. 300. How simple are thy children, Lord, unskilled in what they pray. Full oft they lift a hearty word, yet know not what they say. Hymn number 300.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. We'll read together two readings this morning. Our first reading, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6. So our first reading, the book of Nehemiah in chapter 6. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I builded the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehitabel, who was shut up. And he said, Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid, and do so, and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara. And his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. And now our second reading, Psalm 138. From the book of Psalms, number 138, a psalm of David. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth for ever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. May God bless those readings from his holy word to us each, and may he help us in prayer. Kind and gracious and most merciful Lord, we gather once more in this house of prayer on thy day, and oh, we pray thy presence, we seek thy blessing, we ask that thou wilt look upon us in thy compassion and thy mercy, and grant to us each the help we need as we come before thee now in prayer. Lord, as we have come up to the house of God to worship thee, we pray that thou grant us the help we need. Lord, that we may lift up that song of praise unto thee, that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, that thou wilt draw out of us a spirit of worship that thou hast put in us. Lord, that thou wilt grant us that our eyes might be upon thee, that there may be that desire this day to look on him. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant us that eye of faith to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that our eyes might be away from ourselves and the many failings and the many sins that are ours, and be found looking unto Jesus, that the sinner's only refuge, that the sinner's only hope. And gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee for that hope that is in thy Son for wretched, dying sinners. We praise thee, Heavenly Father, for that precious gift, that glorious life, that glorious person of thine only begotten Son. We thank thee for that precious gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, for the testimony in thy word, and for the witnessing in the hearts of thy people. And we pray that we may be found with that witness in our hearts of the coming of the Saviour, that witnessing in our own hearts of his sin-atoning sufferings, death and resurrection, that we may have through him that good hope, or that we may have by his precious blood that peace with God which passeth all understanding. And Lord, we pray that we may have that application of it, that thou wilt apply the blood to our doorposts and our lintel, that we may know, as the Israelite of old, what it is, what it means to shelter beneath that blood, in faith, in hope, believing that that blood prevails. We pray then that thou wilt look upon us in all our need. Lord, we pray for this church and congregation, this gathering in this house of prayer this morning. We pray that it might be unto him shall the gathering of the people be. We gather to worship thee. Lord, do keep us by thy grace in our thoughts. Lord, help one to speak and help each of us to hear. And may thy Spirit, Lord, be poured out upon us here, that thou wilt use thy word this day for the many needs, the many purposes thou art pleased to accomplish. Lord, thou knowest what is needed. That thou knowest, Lord, all about each one of us. Thou seest us, Lord, as no man does see us. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but thou, Lord, dost look upon the heart. And, Lord, thou knowest those secret desires and those wishes so weak. And we pray that thou wilt meet every need and satisfy, we pray, the desires of the longing heart. Those, Lord, that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Lord, may they not go away hungering this day, but we pray they may be fed with the bread of life sent down from heaven. We pray, Lord, those who may have come up to the house of God seeking to hear thy voice, who are craving, longing for a word that will prove to be in season for them. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt meet that desire, that thy word may be owned and blessed by thee, and that thou wilt use it as only thou canst to accomplish those things that are for thy honour and thy glory. Lord, we pray that thou wilt meet with any who have come up unconcerned, in a careless frame of mind. Any, Lord, who have come up and have no desire, who can only be described as dead in trespasses and in sins, we humbly pray that thou wilt be pleased to meet with them, that they may go out of this house of prayer different to how they came in, that the unconcerned might be brought into true spiritual concern, that the careless may be troubled over their sin and brought, while on mercy's ground, to fall before thee, to seek for thy mercy, to ask for the forgiveness of their sin. We pray, Lord, for the young. We pray, Lord, for the children and young people. Do grant, Lord, that thy word may be made simple to their understanding. Though we at times consider things that are deep and have eternal consequences, and some things are hard to receive, yet, Lord, thou art able to make them as that sincere milk of the word that babes are able to feed on. And we pray that it may be the simplicity of the gospel that is applied to the hearts of the simple. And Lord, we pray that thou would open up the understanding and grant, Lord, that they may be taught of thee. For thy word declares, they shall all be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. And oh, we pray that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may keep the hearts and minds of each. Lord, there may be those who have come up with troubles, with concerns, with sorrows, with hard things. Lord, each heart knows its own bitterness. And Lord, there may be those who are feeling lonely, those that feel tempted, troubled. We pray that thou wilt be pleased to draw near, to reveal thyself as that God of love, the God of comfort, the God of all grace and mercy, that thou wilt receive them to thyself, that they may know thy loving embrace, that they may feel the everlasting arms wrapping around them, holding them fast, that thou, Lord, be that sure support, that rock of ages, that refuge, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Lord, remember the older friends, those in midlife, those in older age. Those, Lord, who feel the burdens, the cares, the concerns. That thou, Lord, put strength in those equal to each day. They may prove their shoes iron and brass. And as their days, so shall their strength be. And Lord, those that are called to walk the thorny path, those, Lord, that are called to walk in the valley of the shadow of death, may they fear no evil, for thou art with them. Oh, may thy rod and staff comfort them, and may they prove thee in the valley and be brought to praise thee on the mountain top. Oh Lord, do bring out of darkness into thy marvellous light. Do, Lord, restore the joy of thy salvation. Do renew, Lord, those former blessings. Do, Lord, grant fresh tokens, fresh manifestations of thy love and mercy. May that desire of the psalmist be the desire of each. Say to my soul, I am thy salvation. Lord, thy sheep hear thy voice. Thy word declares plainly. Lord, we pray that thou cause us to hear it, that our ears might be opened, we might be blessed with thy Spirit, we may be made through thy inward working, spiritual creatures, to know thy voice, to discern those spiritual things, Lord, without thy Spirit we cannot discern. Lord, do put thy Spirit within each, that we may be, we may have those clear evidences that we are born again, that we are among thy living family. Do, Lord, then help us each. Do be with the deacons, do help them in their office in the church here. Do bless the church. Do add to them from the congregation, we pray. Lord, that thy work might continue here in the building up of the church, thy one church. Lord, the gathering in of thy children. That desire to follow in thy gospel commands. The Lord, thy commands are not grievous. We pray that thou would help and strengthen and maintain the church and congregation here. And Lord, use this place as a living witness in this village and in this surrounding area, that the light might shine bright in this dark day in which we live. Remember us in our nation. We pray for our King, those in authority, our Prime Minister and government, those in Parliament, in all the confusion of our day. Lord, that thou would pour out thy Spirit in high places, places of authority, positions of influence, or that there may be many wrought on by thy Spirit to turn from their idols to serve the living God. So help us, Lord, we pray. Bless the preaching of the everlasting gospel to the four corners of the earth. Bless thy word as it's sent forth. And Lord, do glorify thyself in thy church in this day and generation, we humbly pray. So help us, Lord, here. Do remember us in all our need. Take away all iniquity. Wash us in thy precious blood. And take our sins away. And take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. We ask these things, Lord Jesus, in thy name and for thy sake. Amen.
Let us sing hymn number 511, 511. In all my troubles and distress, the Lord my soul does own. Jehovah does my griefs redress and make his mercy known. Hymn 511.
Thank you.
Will you turn with me to our first reading, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6. And with the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from just the opening few words in verse 15. So Nehemiah chapter 6, in the opening words in verse 15. So the wall was finished. Really just those words. So the wall was finished. The whole verse reads, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. But those words, so the wall was finished. You may say, why come this morning with just a historical statement of fact? What meaning, what can this afford us this morning? So the wall was finished. You may say, well, so what? It's a long time ago. It was many, many, many years ago. What relevance does it have for us this morning? Well, friends, it seemed so laid on my mind on Friday. Just those words, so the wall was finished. And I thought back to Nehemiah and the beginning of this book. And I thought of Nehemiah's grief upon hearing the desolation of Jerusalem, of hearing the wall that was broken down and that the city was really lying in waste, and how it broke his heart. Though he was in another land, far away, yet it so affected him when that news came, when he heard of the state of Jerusalem. And then it came to be this. What was his response? In all the sorrow and the anguish of heart, well, he turned to the Lord in prayer. And I often quote that word, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And really, that's exactly what Nehemiah did. It was a day of great trouble, and he brought it to the Lord. He took that trouble to a prayer hearing and answering God. He called upon his God in that heathen land, in that heathen king's court. He called upon his God. He had no means of accessing the temple of God, but he came really in a gospel day sense, didn't he? He cried unto the Lord where he was in that immediate trouble. He he poured out his heart before the Lord. And I would encourage you to read the whole of this book in your own time. But that opening chapter, verse 4, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. You know, this wasn't a brief trouble. This was a sore trouble. I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Oh, that you and I might hear these things, and that you and I might be given the same grace, the same spirit, that you and I might, in all our concerns, bring them unto the Lord. You know, it seems so obvious at times, and yet at times we seem, speaking personally, so foolish, so neglectful, so slothful. Oh, we by our very responses at times seem to be ignorant of the throne of his grace and the help that there is for poor, needy sinners. God has declared, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. And in our reluctance, in our foolishness, in our ignorance at times, we seem to slight that precious promise and that blessed statement, I've laid help upon one that is mighty, and by our very response to things, say silently, we don't need it. We have no need of it. We can manage well ourselves. But Nehemiah here, his example is left on record for us. He sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And how much more, friends, should that be our part, our response? How much more in a gospel day, in all the blessings of a gospel day, knowing something of the glorious gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? You are not ignorant of it in your minds. We read it. We know the letter of it, don't we? How much more in a gospel day? Oh, you know, we have such wondrous things set before us in the New Testament of the grace of God. There are wonderful things set before us in the Old Testament of the grace of God. Friends, in the New Testament, what's revealed, the friend of sinners, the throne of his grace, the access that there is in prayer, the loving welcome to those who feel their need as they come, as they seek to approach a holy God. Oh, may the Lord use this testimony of this man, godly man Nehemiah. You know, maybe it'll be used as it's often been with me. You read it, you read of his dealings, you read of how he was in the work that he was called to do, and you read of his of how often he was in prayer. And you know, oh, does it come as a little arrow in the heart? Or may it be a timely reminder from the Lord this morning. You know, we can think of one and another who maybe went in their own wisdom at first, and then the Lord dealt with them and brought them. But this morning the Lord has brought me here with his example of this godly man. And you know, maybe you do feel this morning, you look at Nehemiah and you say, I come short of this. If you're setting the standard, I don't feel to have that same faith. I don't feel to have that same heart of Nehemiah. That same knowledge that he had. And that same understanding. Oh, may the Lord put it in our hearts to seek for it. For friends, it's a testimony that's left on record. And these things are for our benefit when the Lord is pleased to apply them. And so he prayed. And in the purposes of God, the Lord opened a door of utterance before his master, because he was the king's cupbearer. And the Lord opened a door. And the king said to him, for what dost thou make request? This is in the second chapter. For what dost thou make request? An earthly king, his employer, his boss, says, what is it? You're sad, you're cast down. And he finds favour in his sight. You know, he could have been dismissed. He could have been put to death. He could have been put in prison and be seen no more for being sad in the presence of the king. But he found favour because God would have it so. Because Nehemiah had found favour in the sight of the King of Kings. And in the hand of the King of Kings is the hearts of all men. And don't forget this, you children and young people, don't forget this. Oh, if your heart is right before the King of Kings, oh then, friend, you are right. And oh, what the Lord can do. You know that it is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, go there first. Go to him first with those things that concern you, with those things that are heavy upon you. First, seek him first. And the word of God is true, and you will prove it to be so. And all those things that are needful and right will be added unto you. and Nehemiah. He first went to God before he then spoke to his boss, his employer, the king. And the king says, "For what dost thou make request?" And again, what do we read? Nehemiah's testimony: "So I prayed to the God of heaven." An upward glancing in a brief moment as he's asked, what is thy request? He's got to now open his mouth. He needs wisdom. He needs to articulate what he needs. He needs to be bold. He needs to ask. And so he prays. Not sitting down now for days. Fasting, weeping and praying, but in a moment, another upward glancing of the eye, I prayed. At times it's a little prayer, isn't it? Lord, help me. A brief thought passing through your mind. Lord, help me. Before you open your mouth, before you make your request. And so he does. And he's granted it. For the Lord has gone before him. He's making the crooked things straight. He's going to make the rough places plain. And the door opens. And he finds favour. And he's given those things that he needed. And he's able to return to Jerusalem. And he's able to begin building the walls and setting things in order. And do you think that's it then? Friends, you know, maybe the Lord has, whatever it is with you this morning, maybe the Lord has begun with you and, you found it's one door opens and then something else opens and it all seems to be going, as it were, smoothly. And then it comes. The trouble comes. And you know, then what? You know, where the Lord is at work, when you and I are trying to do that which is right in the sight of God, you can be sure that Satan will try and hinder. Whether it's that inward hindering in your soul and the troubling of your mind, whether it's actual outward circumstances. But it is clear. It is clear right through the Word of God that the path of a child of God is not a plain path. The path of a praying child of God, it is not a smooth path at times. And it isn't doom and gloom. This is reality, friends. And may it not take you by surprise, because it is through much tribulation that the child of God must pass through this valley of tears. That the child of God is not at home when he's in this body of sin. And if the Lord is bringing you up, out, and away from the world, in your affections and in your desires, if he's bringing you in the path of faith, bringing you in the path of prayerful dependence upon him, it's exactly that. It isn't a few prayers at the beginning of the journey, and then sit back with your feet up. It won't be so. It can't be so. God has not designed it to be so. And the good work that Nehemiah desired to do, and God had enabled by the openings in Providence for him to begin, God also saw fit to try it. And he does try faith. And that faith that isn't tried is not God-given faith. But God-given faith is faith that is also tried by God. It is put to the test. If you like, it's stress testing it. And what's the purpose of this? More prayer. More prayer on the part of the sinner. More errands to the throne of grace. More opportunities. And I use that word carefully and understand it rightly. More opportunities for the sinner to prove his Saviour. For the sinner to prove the faithfulness of his God. For the sinner to be brought into the truth of the teaching of the Apostle. For we know that all things work together for good. The difficult things as well as the pleasant things. The hard things as well as the easier things. And so it was with Nehemiah. And we have those that came, the enemies scoffing, the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And it was mocked. And they sought to hinder it. And they were despised for the building of it. And Nehemiah was hated for it by some. And yet, what do we read? Well, he turns to the Lord again. Chapter 4, verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. We are despised. And turn their reproach upon their own head. And give them a prey for the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Oh, there were those that were discouraging and weakening, trying to weaken them, trying to put them off from doing what was right, trying to hinder and stop, if they could, the Lord's work. Verse 9, nevertheless we made our prayer unto our God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And you know, friends, this is an important point. You see, the wall must be finished. The wall must be built. God had determined it to be so. God had suffered them to bear the reproach in the building of the wall, and he had suffered them to bear them being despised, and those to conspire against them and plot against them and work against them and try and deceive them and feign themselves to be friends who weren't friends at all. But the wall must be finished. and it must be built. And prayer must be made. And that is a good reminder for you and I. Prayer is for our benefit. The blessing of prayer is ours. The worship is to God. Prayer is worship. Asking for help is God honouring when we're asking God for his help. Prayer glorifies God, but prayer is a precious gift, and the blessing is the one who makes the prayer. The blessings are his or hers. That they have that communication with God in heaven. And through this means that God has given, we have that relationship, a personal one, with him. The reality that there is a God in heaven is made known when a sinner, young, old, whatever, when one is brought to ask God for help. That which is revealed in the pages of a book becomes a reality in the soul. The declaration that there is a God in heaven becomes a reality when prayer is made and the answers are given. Oh, and how sweet and precious that is. You know, some can testify. There was no sweetness and preciousness in the trouble. But what can make it at once say, it is good for me to be afflicted? What can make something that is distressing, that is full of sorrow, what can make it a time which is well remembered and has a savour of sweetness? Well, it is when prayer is made and the sense of the Lord's presence is given. When help is asked for and help is given. When there's a feeling made known that God is in heaven, that he cares. There is nothing that can rival this. To know that God cares for you. David, in that psalm, well-known Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. That psalm is full of a personal knowledge. My shepherd. My shepherd. Well, Nehemiah could say the same. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and we set a watch. You know, prayer is made, and then things are done. How often we get it the wrong way around, don't we? We set the watch and then we ask the Lord for his help. We put things in motion. We put our plans, our schemes in place, and we ask the Lord to come in and help us out with them. But mark the order. We prayed unto the Lord, and we set the watch. And so they carried on building. And they didn't cease building. And they didn't cease praying. And it was praying and working, praying and working. And those of you that think religion is praying and doing nothing, friends, you are wrong. And I'm not talking now about working out your own righteousness and your own salvation. But God will have his people serve him. And there is a work to be done that honours God, and that you and I must be about our Master's business. Every child of God is a servant of God, and we are to serve. We are to do his bidding. But how can we if we're not much in prayer? Oh, it seems to me that the secret, which isn't a secret, but there is something right through this book of Nehemiah. And it's those personal things that Nehemiah puts into this record of his prayers unto the Lord. The end of the previous chapter we read. Think upon me, verse 19 of chapter 5. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. The chapter we read, verse 9, comes to the end. The verse says, "For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done." And what do we read? "Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." I wonder if there's a few weak hands this morning. They're hanging down, aren't they, by the side. Things have sapped the strength out of you this morning. You feel drained, or maybe of all spiritual life. You maybe feel the deadness, and now what is it? Your hands are hanging down by your side. You feel maybe to be forsaken. Well, listen to this in Hebrews chapter 12. "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" Oh, isn't it this morning? In whatever pathway we are walking in at present, to seek to humble ourselves in under the mighty hand of God. You know, maybe there are those things that have come, and they're testing, stress testing your faith, revealing to you that it is God-given. That's the outcome of it, friends, to not remove it, but to stress test it to prove to you that it is faith anchored and fixed beyond you, out of you, in that rock of ages, our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there are things that have come and it is the rod of chastisement. Oh, maybe there is some things that are not right. Maybe there's some things that need to be made, put right. Some things that need to be revealed that aren't right. Some things that have been taken in that need to be confessed and laid aside. The Lord knows. But friends, the same moving force is love, and it isn't anger. Whom the Lord loveth. If it is chastening, you'll know it if it is. Won't need a sinner in a pulpit to tell you. The Lord will reveal it. But it's love that chastens. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. This is your hope this morning. Nevertheless afterward. Because there will be. There will be. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Sanctified trouble and affliction has a nevertheless afterward. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Oh, it is, isn't it? The Lord to strengthen the hands. Nehemiah needed it. We're doing a great work, we read this morning. We're doing a great work. And, you know, there are things that must be done. A pathway must be walked. And the sinner's not walked this way heretofore. It's a path of prayerful dependence, a path of faith. And how can they walk this path without a guide? They need the Lord to go on before. But how can they walk the path following the Good Shepherd? How can they keep up? How will they not loiter, get wearied, get bogged down, be found giving up, turning back, turning aside? It's only as the Lord gives strength. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength's made perfect in weakness. Oh, the Lord, dear friends, always finishes that which he has begun. He never leaves anything undone. We have that word, don't we? He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Satan will try and hinder it. Nehemiah's work in the rebuilding of the literal walls of Jerusalem, Satan tried to hinder it. But the building must rise. Stone must be added upon stone. The wall must be finished. God will give grace. God's work will continue. God will finish. We read it in that psalm, didn't we? The closing verse of Psalm 138. The Lord will perfect, will complete, will finish that which concerneth me. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And David says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. That's your comfort this morning. To cast yourself on a merciful Lord, whose mercy endures forever, whose mercy knows no end. And your prayer is the same as David's. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Oh, the wall was finished. Despite the opposition, in spite of sin and Satan and all that would oppose, the wall was finished. The wall was finished. May the Lord give us each the eye of faith to look upon our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who in the fullness of the blessing to his poor unworthy people triumphantly cried out from the cross at Calvary, it is finished. It is finished. Believer, it must end in glory for you. The Lord will get the glory. Oh, you may at times be brought low. You may at times feel your hands weakened. You may at times feel your knees weakened. But how able he is to put strength in the weak, and how able he is to confirm them in the way and say, this is the way, the right way, the only way. Walk ye in it. Prayerful dependence, looking unto Jesus and keeping your eyes on Jesus fixed. And there your hopes to stay. So the wall was finished. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Parrish will address the Sunday school this afternoon and present the prizes. He's also expected to preach for us again on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Graham Hadley will, God willing, preach in the evening and administer the Lord's Supper. Our friends at Oakington hold a TBS service on Wednesday evening, and on Friday evening there's a prayer meeting for the nation at Fen Stanton Chapel. Our closing hymn is number 1104, 1104. Convinced as a sinner, to Jesus I come, informed by the gospel, for such there is room. O'erwhelmed with sorrow for sin, will I cry, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hymn 1104.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.